Just going to open up with the reading of a little scripture here by the idea of one of the brothers here. Just want to read a few scriptures here which pertain to what we were doing on these trips. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And on these trips, we like to assume the name ambassadors for Christ. And rather than missionaries, in fact, but because we are ambassadors for Christ, if we are truly saved and we're bringing this gospel to these people in different countries, we have no idea what God is going to do with the word we left there. We brought the true gospel to Ghana, and it was really an exceptional trip. It was, compared to other trips, it was almost like a vacation, because it was just so pleasant to find the people so receptive and so friendly and so gracious. And it was as though God had opened the doors really wide. And there was no restrictions on anything we did. There was no resistance. Like wherever we went, whether it be in the city or in the outskirts, just anywhere, wherever the people were, they were so very receptive to God's word. And to put emphasis on the receptiveness, the tracts were not being discarded. I've never seen anything like it. On a lot of places, you'll hand out many, many tracts, but you'll also find many, many on the ground. And you've heard me talk about that on other trips. But this was really, really exceptional. I don't think I picked up 30 tracts all week long. And the distribution rate was just phenomenal. Wherever you found people, they were coming to you for the tracts when they saw you were handing them out. And at times, you couldn't even, although you like to make eye contact with the person and tell them it's the true gospel and tell them it's the gospel of Jesus Christ and hopefully say something, many times you couldn't even do that because the people would swarm you. So you're standing with a pile of tracts and you're just trying to separate them, and they're actually taking them out of your hands. You don't even have to hand them out. It was phenomenal. But not in an unruly way either. They were patient. They just wanted one. And it was great to see that kind of reception and that kind of longing for God's word and the reading of it. And I'll jump ahead here a little. I guess we started on a Saturday. I want to go to Sunday. We went to a very busy circle in town. It seemed like on Sunday, wherever anyone went, it was a busy day. There's many churches there in Accra, or Accra is the name of the city we were in Ghana, West Africa, for anyone not aware of what I'm talking about. And it was so interesting. There were so many people going and coming from church on Sunday all over the city, and they're all walking with their Bibles in their hands already. And it was such a blessing to be able to hand them the true gospel. And they were just taking it. So whether they were taking it to church with them or taking it home with them, it was nice to hand them the tract and say, here, read this. Read this along with your Bible. It was just phenomenal how many tracts were handed out on Sunday in downtown Accra, where we had probably four teams out in different strategic locations where the people traffic was really heavy. And another wonderful thing about this trip, we got to work with a fellowship of men and a few women, men and their families, that live in the town of Oburi, which is about an hour and a half away from Accra and from our hotel. And it was a real blessing. We knew that Dave Morrell had met these men while he was over there setting the trip up. But as I talked with them, I asked the one man that worked with me, I said, how did you come in contact with the Is the Church Dead track? Now, we had a few when we gave them out when people were really interested. But we know our mission was a family radio mission, distributing the Does God Love You track. But one of the men from the fellowship's brother lives in New York City. His last name is Hussein. And he came over there and went on to Togo with three of our team members and stayed there to be married. Him and his wife went there back to their hometown. And they are both Muslims, which God had saved, and are Christians now. And this one Hussein lived in New York City. He was going back to his Togo to be married. His brother lives in Oburi with the fellowship, whose name is Castro Hussein. And he was given one of the Is Dead Church tracks by his brother from New York City. And he took it home to their village with them. And this was what spawned their fellowship. They studied the track, them and the other believers, and studied the scriptures well before we even knew them, and realized that this is what's happening. So they had left their churches, a group of men already, and they're undergoing persecution right now from their families and from the people they used to belong to the churches with, and different denominations also. So we want to keep these men in prayer, because they're really left with a lot of encouragement. And also we printed an extra 25,000 tracks just to leave with them for distribution, which we know they'll continue to do so. In fact, Barbara was with them for a while distributing tracks. Barbara is a girl from Ghana which comes to this fellowship. So keep them in prayer, because they're, we could see how God had said His word there even before we got there, even before anyone went there, how this message is not only going on here or in the United States or in this fellowship or family radio, but this is the word of God. This is from God's holy word. And we need to pray for each other that we be obedient to His word. But not only in Ghana, God's word is going forth all over the world. Even in India, we found people that are not surprised. And it's particularly in Ghana here on this trip, we met many, many people that belong to the churches, that came to the Bible studies, that are not surprised at all. Like, it's to the point on these trips when they question the question on the track. Some people will come up to you and say, well, you're saying right here on the track not to go to church. And it's to the point now where you just say, well, the church is dead. And if you would take the track, read those scriptures, read it along with your Bible, get a Bible, you'll see. But many were not even surprised. There was people even telling us that they went from church to church. They knew there was something wrong. They didn't feel right in their church. And it was such a blessing to be in this city and to distribute that amount of tracts and literature and Bibles. And it was as if they were waiting for someone to confirm this to them. And that's what it seemed like. But it wasn't us confirming it. It was God confirming it, because we were confirming it with the scriptures. So it was really encouraging to them that people came from America to their country just to do this. And when we tell them this is the true gospel, these are the tracts, and we're giving Bibles away. The thing is, a lot of people find it hard to believe that it's totally free, that we're not there trying to sign anybody up or to join a church or anything like that. And once they realize we're there professing God's word, It just, well, it means everything. I was going to say it means so much. It actually means everything. For God's elect are all over the world, and we trust He will save many in the city of Accra and the outlying areas. So, okay, I'll go back to the beginning of the trip. When we arrived there, the men from the fellowship were already waiting at the airport for us, and we came in on all different flights, and I was thrilled because there was a couple unexpected brothers and sisters that I didn't even know they were going, but when we got to Accra, they were there at the airport because no one got a list this time of who's going or anything. So I was thrilled to see some other people already there that I've worked with before. It was a real blessing. And the fellowship men were there and waiting for us and drove us to our hotel. And from the time we got there to when we left, they really didn't get much sleep because they had to drive an hour and a half every morning to get to our hotel and that same drive back at the end of the day. And yet they did it very faithfully. And as far as transportation, we worked out a deal with a man that lived by them that had a van and had to drive them anyway. And they don't have the money. Bad enough, they probably took off from work and everything, but they don't have the money to pay for this kind of transportation. So they had a man that was a van driver. That was his business, transportation. So we worked out an agreement with him. He worked with us the whole trip. He took our teams and dropped them off in specific locations. And then we'd estimate how long it would take us to distribute the tracks. And he made his best effort to come back and pick the teams up. So that eliminated the problem of us looking for a taxi cab all the time or looking for a van or looking for a bus. And it worked out pretty well. And we all contributed to it. We all came to an agreement with him what he would charge to stay with us the whole time. And we, each one of us, which on every trip you pay for additional transportation out of our pocket. So I think it was like $30 each. Each one of us had to chip in, and that took care of him for the whole trip. But not only that, he brought these men from the fellowship with him every morning and drove them back home every night. Without that, I don't think we would have saw them every day. So it really worked out. And God had all that plan. You know, we didn't realize this. We didn't know what we were going to do. And on a lot of these trips, it's a day-to-day walk with the Lord. It's a day-to-day. You can't really plan tomorrow and say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Because it just doesn't work that way. We make our best to do that, but plans change so frequently because different things happen in town that we're not aware of, and we hear of different places where there'll be many people that day. So your team plan change because the leader might say, well, Tom, take your team and go here. Well, I was supposed to go there, and it doesn't work that way. You just go and be obedient to what you're told to do and where God leads us. And it's surprising how things get done. Excuse me. So we went the first day to a busy marketplace called the Circle. Not a marketplace, just a busy circle in town. It was a couple of bus stations where the people would just getting off one bus, it seemed, and had to walk across the street to get on another bus or a van to go somewhere else. And the flow of the people was just so constant, where we were there with five of us, and I'd say we had to have near, almost every time we went out, close to 10,000 tracks at a time easily. And it got so to where we were distributing that volume of tracks in a matter of 2 hours. It was phenomenal. So, and in these little bus stops and all, and people are either coming to town to shop or leaving, where you could stand as the vans are pulling out or the little buses, and the hands are just reaching out the windows for the track. So you're trying to give them enough tracks, whether it be 6 or 8 or 10, and they're just sharing them with each other and taking them home. So that was another reason for the rapid distribution and the amount of tracts distributed. And also, there was two men from the fellowship with every one of our teams. So that, and they worked right along with us. I guess the first day, they were trying to see how we operated or how we distributed tracts. But it only took them one day, and they got a crash course. And from the second day on, they just worked right along with us. All they had to do was see how serious we were about what we're doing and distributing tracts, and they only had to see it, and then they were just part of the team, and it was a real blessing to have them because they helped in communications and everything else. You know, it wasn't like, it was just a blessing to have people waiting for us that loved the Lord and were totally dedicated to our mission there along with us. So then there was just certain areas around town that there was always people every day. And as I said, we got there on a Saturday, a Friday, a Thursday night, Friday. We were there for the weekend. Saturday, Sunday was Sabbath day, church day for many of the people. And we automatically thought, well, if it's like any other trip, yeah, it's the weekend, sure, it's real busy. It's probably going to slack off during the week. But here in Accra, it was just the opposite. And the men told us, it's even busier during the week. And it was busier during the week. Like, it was phenomenal. There's some trips, the weekends, or certain days are busier than others. And during the week, it's like a lull, or you're looking for people to give tracts to, but this was not the case here. It was just such a blessing. I really would like to get back there someday. I really hope it's just such an open door for God's Word. Getting back to the request that eBible is getting right now for Bibles and tracts, to see it firsthand, you could see the hunger in the people for the gospel. And it's a sincere hunger. It's not a curious thing, because they're already inundated with many false gospels and many churches and all different kinds of creeds, and just about everything we have here they have there. But to be able to go there and bring them the true gospel and see their eagerness to read what we're giving them, it's really phenomenal. It's the best trip I've ever been on. And for that reason, and everyone feels the same way, this trip just went beyond our expectations. We didn't know what to expect, but it was beyond that. And we got permission to go to a few prisons, which Barry took charge of that. And he was told he wouldn't be able to go in with the Bibles and the tracts, but then it just so happened when he went there, he was with Castro Hussein, which was the man from the fellowship. It just so happened they let him in, and he was able to go in and preach the gospel to the inmates and everything at one prison. Then there was another huge, huge prison that they didn't want to let us go there. In fact, one day I went with Barry up to see the prison chaplain in his office, and he didn't want to give us permission. He said he couldn't, and he said to go here and there. But Barry persisted in trying to get permission. And, you know, lo and behold, the day before we left, our last Saturday, last day of distribution, he was granted permission to go to this prison and take a couple hundred Bibles and a lot of tracts and all. And so that worked fine. Hospitals, they didn't all leave us in to just go through the wards and everything, which is understandable. But we went to one huge hospital one day, the largest in Accra. Me and Samuel, a man from the fellowship, worked with me, and two women, Monica, I know some of you know Monica from Brooklyn, and Edna, who is a woman from Philadelphia here. She is a woman that I left out of Philadelphia with. And we went to the hospital, only four of us this time, because we had to take a cab to go there. It was a long ride. And when security saw me and Sammy handing out tracks, he had to take us to the security office and so we can have legal permission and all. And they wouldn't grant it because the chief wasn't there and the people couldn't do it. But all in all, while we were doing that, Edna and Monica were roaming out through the clinics and all and handing out tracks. So things like that happen, and we have to take it as God's will that it wasn't a waste going there or anything. There was plenty of tracks got out there anyway. So we tried two hospitals. Then one day gave us a veterans hospital. There were no objections, so we really scoured the place pretty well, and they let us go right to the wards, to the patients in the beds, and hand them tracks. And I had a man say, I sort of felt at home. It was a veterans hospital, and there was a lot of soldiers there in military, which I'm an ex-veteran myself. And I had this man, his leg was all twisted, and he looked at the track, and he says, what do you mean? How could God love me? Look at my legs, you know? So I had a chance to witness to him, and I tell him that what you have there is the true gospel. I said, you needn't worry about your life here. I said, it's where you're going to spend eternity. And, you know, he sat and listened, and I had a chance to present the gospel to him, and then he asked me to pray with him before I left, so things like that have been happening too. So that hospital was a real blessing to be at. The major marketplace in town was always just so many people, it's unbelievable. You wonder how the traffic drives through it, but yet it does. Because the streets are just covered with people and cars coming through and trucks with goods and blowing their horns, and you can't even see the pavement when you look down, you know, for the people around. And it just, everyone wants a track. Everyone, you could just walk down the street and just constantly be handing them out. And another wonderful thing was, no matter where we were, whether in a real busy area or not, there was many, not only children, but adults also, coming and asking for more, saying, give me a few more. I want to take them home to my family, or I want to take them to my village. And there was children coming and asking to want to help us distribute. So when you saw that it was okay and they were sincere, well, that's fine. You know, so you'd give them a little handful of tracts and they'd go distribute them. I had one touching experience. We went to this Tima, which is a fishing port, and me and Sammy, they were working the waterfront, really, and all the fish are coming in, and markets of fish all over the place, and not very sanitary, to say the least, but we worked our way all along the working people and the fishermen and all, and everybody wanted a track, and they're just, they won't let you get by. They want to get one. So as I walked along, I had this teenage girl come up to me, and I know that I gave her some tracks before, and she comes up to me and she says, I need five more, you know. So I said, and I was ready to look at her and say, didn't I give you some already? And I realized it was her, so I gave her five more. A little while later, she comes up to me again, the same girl. And I realized she was taking the tracks, and then I watched her, and she was taking them on the sides to people that were sitting by their stands, or women sitting way out of the way by the fence that they knew I wasn't going to walk by them. So she was coming and delivering the tracks, and it reminded me she was just like a waitress. Like, she would specifically say, I need four more, so I give her four, she takes them. And as I walked along, she worked along with me, and she'd come back from this direction. I need six. So I'd give her six, and she'd go and deliver them over there. And it was beautiful. She was just like bringing the order and delivering the tracks. It was beautiful. She was really, really sweet. And as I say again, there was many, many older people constantly throughout the trip saying, can I have a few more to take home with me? And that's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to, when that happens, when you know the people are sincere. And it surely seemed like that. So we pray God will work in their hearts from there. And then on the last Saturday, there was a big independent square in town where there was a big, they called it May Day, but it was like our Labor Day, where there would be tens of thousands of people coming, and even the president was there. So all of our teams went there for the last day. Barry went to the prison with a few women, and we all went over there. And this square is huge. If you sign those pictures, I don't know where those big arches were and everything. It's a big, huge square. So we started working there, and there was busloads and busloads of people coming in and parades going on, and they were all marching. It was a big Labor Day celebration for them. But the flow of the tracks, again, was phenomenal. And usually in a crowd like that, when there's so many people gathered, I mean tens of thousands of people, maybe 100,000, maybe more, where all that's going on, and it's hot, and it's sweaty, and it's all this commotion going on, to not see any tracks on the ground is phenomenal. And you know, I couldn't even see any on the ground. They were taking them, even though they didn't have time to read them or anything, but they were taking them and putting them in their pockets. Like, you know, they were going to eventually get to reading them. So that was just the fact alone that they were not being discarded was truly a blessing. And as far as resistance goes, the worst resistance I ran into the whole trip was I was at a college campus one day. Well, I have a little story about that also. And everyone is taking them. Everyone. I'm going in a library or trying to find students on the campus. And the worst resistance I received that day was, oh, I'm a Buddhist. I don't want one of them. I mean, that's so mild. It's I didn't even want to argue with them or anything. But then another man in town said, well, I'm a Muslim, so I don't want a track. But that was the extent of the resistance of anybody. I mean, as far as being approached or threatened or chased or yelled at or anything, it just didn't exist there. It was so beautiful to be sharing God's word in such an environment. But then at this big Labor Day parade, I walked up to a man, an older man, and I offered him the track, and he says, oh no, I'm a Muslim. And you know, I started to talk to him, and he never said a word. He never even looked like he wanted to argue with me. I said, you know, you need Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive your sins. And the message we were bringing is, the Lord is returning soon. Judgment day is upon us. And I said, Jesus is the only one who can forgive you your sins. And he came once to this earth as a babe in a manger and a savior. But when he returns this time, he's coming as the judge. And that day is approaching. And he was listening so intent to what I had to say. And he took that track and I just left him like that. And like he didn't even have a look on his face like he wanted to argue. So when things like that be happening, you know, it's a blessing after blessing after blessing. And you know, when you're talking to someone about the Lord and you're one-on-one, they're just, sometimes you just, they just want to, they're listening so intently to every word you say. Like, you just have to thank God for bringing you there or bringing you to them or them to you or whatever. But it's just like we sang the song, I love to tell the story. Well, it's wonderful to tell the story of God, but it's much more wonderful when you're telling it to a complete stranger that's listening to it, you know. That's the beauty of it, you know. Only God can bring his word to life in that person's life. So then we gave out a lot of Bibles, but we had a little problem with them. the ones we had ordered, when they were delivered, they weren't the right ones. And it was we had a hard time finding nice, decent Bibles to give away, which we wanted to. So Barry spent a lot of time looking for Bibles all around town. And whenever we found something that was good enough to give out, we would buy it. But it would be like 100 here, 200 there, 400 there. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of Bibles there, even on the streets and the vendor stand. And, I can't say a lot, but you will see them on the street. But as far as just a regular King James Bible of any kind of quality, it was hard to, they were pretty hard to come by. And so we had to reject the order that we got, and then here we are without any Bibles to distribute. So that really put an extra work on Barry there. Whatever they sent us, I'm sure it wasn't what Dave had ordered. They were just a cheap paperback, like you can buy here in the dollar store for a dollar, with from some evangelistic association with the men's pictures in the front, and then on the back would be a big free will gospel message of as far as accepting the Lord and that. And we looked at them, we said, we can't use these, we can't give these out, so we just had to trust in the Lord to supply us with them. I don't even know the total amount that we distributed. I guess probably Barry would know that because he was constantly buying them. But I don't know the total amount, but it all did work out. Then men were coming from all over town with Bibles. Once the word got out that we wanted to buy Bibles, they were bringing all different kinds. In fact, a man came one day to the hotel with cases full of Gideon Bibles and wanted to sell them to us. So where they're getting them, I don't know, but there they were. And other Bibles with other churches' names on, not to be sold and things like that. So we had to be careful there, but all in all, it worked out. And it had to be thousands that we distributed, even though. And, speaking of Bibles, I'll speak about the Bible studies. Now, we had a Bible study every evening. We usually would have our dinner around 6:30, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. We'd have a Bible study every night in the hotel. And now the first night, there was maybe 25 people came. And as you're out distributing tracts, we're always telling people we have a Bible study every night, or especially if we don't have any Bibles with us. If you come to the hotel, you can get a Bible and come to our Bible study and hear the gospel preached. And, and by word of mouth, well, I can't even say that because it's a big city and we're all over the place. So people were coming to the Bible study from many different parts of town, and they actually had to travel a ways or get a cab or however they got there to come to the hotel. So the first day there was maybe 20 or 25 people. Then the second night there was about 50. And then the third night there was probably 100. And the crowds got so big towards the end that, well, with 3 days left, we had to go rent some chairs up the street. That the dining room that we ate in, we converted it to our own Bible, our conference room, which was full of chairs with maybe 75 people could fit in there. Then the lobby of the hotel was full of chairs. We made that another, they weren't really Bible studies. It turned out to be evangelistic meetings where the men who were not teaching but were preaching the true gospel to the people. And there would be three separate services going on at the same time because of all the people that were coming to the hotel. There would be Jerry maybe in one room with a room full of people, no more can fit. Another man in the main lobby of the hotel where the owner said, you have to at least leave an opening for the other guests that are staying at the hotel so they could at least get to the desk to get their key and then go to their room. And then there would be someone else outside preaching to the people on the street, to those that couldn't fit in. And the crowd kept growing every day. So if we stayed another day or two, I really don't know what we'd have to do. We'd probably be thinking about looking for a hall, really. That's how the people were coming. And it was beautiful because many children were coming too. And they would let all the children sit up in front. And they weren't ashamed to sit on the floors or anything. You can see in some of the pictures there. And the pictures don't catch the whole audience or the whole crowd. The children would come in and just sit in lines on the floor, and the little ones would be sitting on the big ones' laps. And whoever was bringing the message that night, they would just sit so attentive. They wouldn't even move. And they were just listening. And the children understand English better than the adults over there, because English is even taught in all of the schools. And it was just something to see that, you know. And every day it would be more and more, and there would be more and more kids, to where some even brought the Bible that they got the day before. Like, you knew they weren't all just coming to get a free Bible. Although I'm sure many were, but I know many weren't. Many were coming to hear the Word of God. And to see those little children just sit there so attentive and all, it touches your heart. It really does. And everyone was just so pleasant. And after the meetings, most of the people would leave, but there was always many that just wanted to stay around and talk. So each one of us would have a chance to witness to these people. And usually till 11 o'clock at night, like, they wouldn't want to leave. The service would end at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and it was not unusual at all to find all of us ambassadors with little groups of people here and there around in the lobby or outside, and everyone with their Bible and everyone telling them about the true gospel. So it was really a blessing for everyone. And the women would be speaking with women, and I'd be with a few people over there, and you couldn't just, well, the Bible study's over, go to your room, get ready for tomorrow. No, every night you were down there talking to people about the Lord. It was, as I said, I've never experienced a trip like it. For all of these examples, and these are all wonderful examples, wonderful reasons to be there. And again, I said the people were very friendly, inquisitive, sincere about their questions and all, and they were they wanted a sincere answer. So it was just a blessing to be able to present Christ to these people, and let me look over my notes here. And the men from the fellowship really appreciate the t-shirts from this fellowship. Fred had given me a bunch to take with me, and it wasn't really enough to distribute amongst us. There was 15 of us that went. One woman, Karen from San Diego, she had to leave a little early. She had a brother. He got pretty sick, so she left 3 days before the end of the trip. So we didn't have enough shirts for all of us, but there was enough to give to the men in the fellowship that worked with us all week, and they really appreciated that. We left them with not only t-shirts, but song sheets and a lot of Family Radio's materials, a lot of Mr. Camping's booklets and all. We had an awful lot of them. They sent a few boxes out from the West Coast. But after 2 days of Bible studies, we had to start hoarding some of the things so we could have something to put on the table the following night. And even that didn't work. After 4 or 5 days, all of the written materials and Sunday Sabbath and speaking in tongues and all of those booklets and God's Magnificent Salvation Plan. And I always try to save a few to carry with you for when you meet someone and in your travels throughout the day, to be able to give them something more than the track. But we could have given away tons of that material if we had it. So before we even realized it was going so fast, it was gone. You know, it was really neat. And the last day was a Sunday. We were leaving on a Sunday at different times. So we normally have a more formal worship service, as we do here. We'll get together and sing a few more hymns and have more of a formal Sabbath day service. And we didn't announce it that we were having a service for the public on Sunday. But as you could see in some of those pictures, that was our last day there. Like, the place filled up again. On Sunday morning, the people started coming, because just by nonchalantly, I might have told someone, yeah, we're having a worship service at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, and someone told someone else, and here comes the crowds again. So we had to break out the chairs again and fill the rooms again on Sunday morning before we left. And people just came to worship with us and bid us farewell. You know, it was amazing, because you didn't even have to make it known anymore, broadcast it. As I said, if we stayed any longer, we'd have been looking for a how to handle the amount of people that were coming. So, if anyone has any questions about anything at all, I'd be willing to try and answer. Oh, that's the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, we went along the coast from Accra to Tema. If you looked on a map of West Africa, you will see Tema. They're right on the coast. And that picture of that big beach ship there, well, that sort of reminds us of the church today. And that was pretty good, you know. All shipwrecked there, laying on the beach, all rusted up and being stripped of its merchandise. That's what was happening there to that ship. We were in that van. If you see and notice a van in front of the hotel, a little white van, that was our main transportation. So when we left in the mornings, there would be like 20-something of us in that van. We'd be crammed in there. Not only a dozen of us, but then the 8 men, 2 men went with each team. So we'd be really crammed in there. You couldn't wait till the first team got dropped off. So we have a little room in there. And we're going up in along the ocean. And they said, oh, look at that ship. Take a picture of that ship. I looked at that ship. I said, that looks just like the church. So, or the ship that Paul was on. But anyhow, praise God that He reveals His truth to us. And I shouldn't even be joking about it, really. But we know when we share these tracts and take the gospel to these people, it's a very serious thing, a very serious thing, because the seriousness can't be stressed enough. If it wasn't for God's Word working in our lives, where would we be? I know I wouldn't be here. If someone told me 3 years ago that I'd be going to other countries handing out gospel tracts, I probably would have laughed at them. And Fred witnessed a little bit in 39 years of his life. He didn't even realize he was lost. And we don't realize we're lost until God comes into our life and saves us and brings His Word to life in our lives. And it's a very serious, everlasting, life-changing word. So, as good as this trip was and how pleasant it was, you know, even if God only saved one person for all of this effort and all of this time and all of this discomfort and all, it would still worthwhile. Still worthwhile, because the Bible says even the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner is saved. Oh, sure. Okay, a woman asked a question about the feedback or what the people thought about when we talked about the end of the church age. Surprisingly, they weren't even alarmed. It was as though they were waiting for someone to come and tell them. Now, I can't say this for every single person, but there was no resistance even against that. When we tell them that, the church is dead, or they'd say, well, I go to church, or I'm a Christian, and we'd say, here, read this. You know, here's the tract. We'll explain that the church age is over. The church is dead, is precisely what we are saying. It would stop them to listen. And once we had a chance to talk with them, they didn't even, they weren't surprised at all. It seemed like God had prepared the hearts of those that were sent to us to hear this message. Their hearts were prepared, because even at the Bible studies, there were self-proclaimed street evangelists that came to the Bible studies, and you'd meet people on the streets. There was preachers on the streets with their microphones and their speakers, and evangelists, and there were pastors that came. There were many women that came that say they're faithful churchgoers and all. And whenever they came to one of our Bible studies, the message was the end of the church age. The church is dead. Judgment day is upon us. We're right near the end of the world. We're right near the end of time when Christ returns. And the attentiveness to the message was, we have to believe that God prepared their hearts, because there wasn't even any resistance. They welcomed the message, which is, I imagine, is happening all over the world. We only know a little bit about this, and Africa is a huge place, and Ghana is only a small country in Africa, and Accra, the city we were in, is only one little city, and maybe the population there is 3 million, but it's quite spread out, and there's really no way to take an accurate census of people over there. But I have to believe, especially wherever family radio is being broadcast, they're being broadcast into South Africa, which is just a country in Africa, and the surrounding countries, where they're hearing this message over the radio. So it wasn't surprising. Even though we were the first to ever tell them that, they didn't even seem to be shocked. They just wanted to hear more. So that in itself is a good indication that God is spreading this word all over the world, whether we know it or not, or whether we even want to believe it or not. Because I'm not going to end right now, but that was a scripture I was going to read, and we all know in Revelation that there's a great multitude being saved right now all over the world, outside of the churches, by God's word. And that's what you see happening in these other countries.
When you're on these mission trips, either in Ghana or anywhere else, are you able to listen to family radio on the internet or shortwave or try?
The question was, do we get to listen to family radio when we're in these other countries? You know, I don't think we ever really tried. I know I did. But you always meet people, which we have on this trip, that tell you that they are listening, that they do get it. Yes, that happened in Puerto Rico. Yeah, mostly shortwave. And the tracks that we distributed over here in Ghana had the shortwave schedule on it. So it might not be all day. They're not as fortunate as us where we can listen to it 24 hours a day. It might only be a couple hours at a time, 2 hours here and an hour here, but the word is being brought there by radio, not over the entire country yet, but yeah, usually when you have someone come up to you and tell you that they listen or they hear it, well, that's great. Then it makes you feel better about handing the tracks out, because then you feel confident about pointing them to the radio schedule on the back of the track. So that's good there. And yeah, there was a few people that saw the shirt or saw the hats or family radio, and or one man came up to me. He says, "You know," he said, "I was just visiting my sister in the United States, and that's the only station she listens to." And so, and all throughout the course of the day, we're constantly inviting people to the Bible studies. Anyone shows any interest other than just receiving the tract, if you have a minute to talk to them, you do. If you have other literature to give them to, you do. But you'll always invite them to come to the Bible study at night, and where they can get a Bible if they need it, and listen to the Word. And we were all really thankful, each one of us, the way this trip went, the way it did, because, again, I'll say it was as if God just opened the door so wide, and it still is like that in this country, according to even the request e-Bible's getting for tracts and Bibles. And it's just like a wide open door. Oh, another little story I have. When we went to the university, we left the hospitals that day, and we still had a couple thousand tracts with us, me and the three people with me. So we went to the University of Ghana, which was near the second hospital we visited. And it's really a big place. I mean, it really takes in a lot of land. As far as you can see buildings and steeples, and it's the University of Ghana. It's where their president was educated and all of that. And I guess the enrollment is about over 4,000 students. So we went there. And once you start walking around in a place like that, you lose contact with the people you're with or with your team, because you have to be moving. So you can't move together, and not everyone can move so fast. So you just go and usually set a time. Well, meet out here at the gate in an hour, and we'll decide then if we should stay longer or see if we have any tracks left or things like that. So we left the two women near the entrance to distribute tracts there. And Sammy and I started going up the street. And he's on one side, I'm at the other. But you're going in and out of buildings. In 10 minutes, I had no idea where he was. So I just kept going. And then this man comes up to me. Well, a young man. I'd say 30, 35, and he seemed to, I just thought he was a student, you know. He looked like a student. Maybe he was in his 20s. And he's walking along with me, and I said, where could I find all the students? And he says, oh, follow me. So he's walking along with me, takes me into this one library, and they're all sitting at the desk and really quiet, and I'm walking between all of the tables and just setting a track by each one of them in the library. He's waiting for me by the door. He says, come on, follow me. So he's right with me. And he heard what I was saying, because I just sort of I like to tell them what it is. And I usually say, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he heard me say that a few times. So we're walking from one building to the other, and he says, give me some of them. So I gave him a handful of tracts too, and I'm just following him around this whole college campus. He's taking me from building to building, and he's handing them out with me. Here comes some students, and then I hear him start saying, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's the two of us, and I follow, and it was beautiful. And then we go into this one cyber room where it's all computers, right? Cyber hall or something. All this room full of computers, a room three times the size of this room, and all students had the computers, so we were just going and putting the track down, and here it is, right on the website, you know, and they're already sitting at a computer, and you put the track down by them and say, familyradio.com, you know, so God only knows how many that very day might have went onto the website to check it out, you know. So I'm just following him along, you know, and he's with me now over an hour. I don't even know where I'm at. I don't even know where the entrance to the college is, because we're just going from dorms to offices. He's taking me, like he knew the place inside out. He's taking me to offices where the deans are in their offices, and we knock on a door, and the door would open. There'd be two people in there. We'd go and give them a track. until every track was gone. And I said, well, I'm just going to have to look for a cab to get back myself, because first of all, you got to take me to the entrance, to the street. And I don't think the rest of the team is going to be here, because he stayed with me like almost 2 hours till everything was distributed. And so I get back to the gate and nobody's there. He had to take me back to the entrance to the college, because that's how vast it was. And I asked the guard there, did you see the two women here that were here handing out tracts? And I mean, a couple hours of time elapsed by now. And he said, yeah, I think I saw them down there by the canteen or something. So, you know, like if the Lord had it all figured out, you know, I walk down there and then I see Edna and I, hey, Edna, where's Monica? Oh, she's over there with Sammy. Yeah, we're all out of tracts too. So we all regrouped there and got in a cab and went back to the hotel. But that was quite an experience. So that guy really took me through that campus. And oh, yeah. Oh, believe it or not, he did come to the Bible study the next two nights. And he came for a Bible. And he was telling me about his family and his daughter and his mother and things like that. And he was knowledgeable of scriptures. As we got talking, as we walked along, as we were walking, if we weren't handing out tracts, we were also talking. And I was preaching to him at the same time. But he was very knowledgeable of the scriptures. So he did come to the Bible study, and he got a Bible that night. In fact, he came the last two nights. So, you know, we could only pray that God will work in the hearts of many there. The question from Paltok was if I met anyone that received anything from e-Bible there, either in the CDs or tracks or anything. And no, I didn't. The only thing which we almost have to attribute to the founding of that fellowship in Aburi is the Church Dead track that Hussein took over there and gave to his brother, that took to the church and took to his town, and now they're a fellowship. But they actually studied the Church Dead track, and that's what convinced many of them to leave their churches. I mean, we know ultimately it's God that does it, but it was the encouragement and the scriptures that they needed to study to come to that point. So again, I say we need to pray for them, because they are being very bold in a land where they're spreading the same message, and they're already being persecuted by their families, and their people they used to go to church with are shunning them and calling them, reviling them and everything like that. So keep that little fellowship group in prayer. And hopefully we'll be in contact with them. We're trying to make arrangements to have some Bible distribution done, some of e-Bible distribution done in Accra. And well, it's being worked on right now. I can't say much more than that. But there's hopefully, Lord willing, we might have a little distribution point there if some of these men decide to take it upon themselves. It might happen yet. So then when we know when we're sending Bibles to Ghana from this fellowship and from our tithes and offerings, it will be good to know that they're getting into the hands of people that are the people that are asking for them and that are hungry for God's Word, that God can use us in this way to supply the Bibles to them. It's a very important thing. The hunger is definitely there. The hunger for God's Word is there. There's no question about that. Any more questions? Let me just look over my notes here one more time. I think I about covered everything that I can think of.